CBSI in the world, I'm John Batchelor, welcoming Bob Zimmerman. We're going from the surface of the planet Earth to low Earth orbit, but commercial space. Bob, you have celebrated commercial space for years now. Is this the payoff? What's about to happen?
Oh, John, this is absolutely an example of payoff, and this is far more exciting than the two suborbital flights, stunt flights that occurred in July. This is the real deal. This is the first step in the private human exploration of the solar system, completely independent of governments and their agendas. Beginning in the evening of September 15th, tomorrow, SpaceX is going to launch on its Falcon 9 rocket, a Dragon capsule with four passengers on board for a three-day mission in orbit. This is an entirely private mission, and it's very important to emphasize the fact that the government has nothing to do with it. We're going to have four people orbiting the Earth for 3 days, and the government has no say. The launch facilities, the rocket, the capsule, the drone ship where the rocket's first stage will land, the Falcon 9 first stage, the entire recovery operation once the capsule splashes down are all controlled and owned by SpaceX. Every worker you see is a privately employee of SpaceX, and they don't work for the government and probably wouldn't want to. The passengers are all private citizens, one of whom purchased the flight directly from SpaceX. That's 38-year-old billionaire Jared Isaacman, who is also a highly capable aircraft pilot, jet aircraft pilot. Now, he paid $200 million, fronted between $100 and $200 million for this flight, with the goal of raising a lot of money for St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. And that result has resulted in a lot of money being raised for children's cancer research. And so this is an entirely private flight. Its goals are different. It's not the goals of government. It's the goals of the individuals flying, plus SpaceX trying to make a profit. The flight itself is going to be somewhat unusual, John. They're not only going to be up there for 3 days. It's the first manned mission in more than a decade that does not dock with a space station, including both American, Russian, and Chinese missions. They all have docked the space stations. This one will not. It just orbits the Earth. It is also going to go higher than any space mission possibly in many decades. I've been trying to track down when their space mission went this high. It's going to go into an orbit that's higher than the last non-space station mission. That was the 2009 Hubble repair mission. That mission went to the Hubble Space Telescope, which is around 335 miles in altitude. This mission is going to go 370 miles. And as far as I can tell, maybe the last time humans have been that high is going back maybe to the Apollo missions. There might have been a shuttle mission higher along the way, but I don't know which it was. Anyway, I'm gonna have embedded on Behind the Black the live stream. You could also go to SpaceX to see it, as well as their YouTube page. But if you go to Behind the Black, I'll actually put this post up at the top of the page tomorrow as well. And so if you want to watch this whole mission, you can. It's a big deal, John, because this just demonstrates once again that the fundamentals of the U.S. So you give humans freedom, and you don't try to tell them what to do, and they're going to do astonishing and magnificent things on their own.
I'm trying to think of an analogy in 20th century history. Is this like those flights, early flights, to be one person crossing the Atlantic or one person flying from Europe to England and landing? Is that what this is like,
yeah,
Bob?
It's very comparable to that in that, especially with the United States, any of the achievements we did in those early days were irrelevant, were completely divorced from the government. Lindbergh's flight on Spirit of St. Louis was not a government-funded flight. It was a privately funded flight. And so were many of the other barnstorming achievements, such as crossing the United States without landing. These were guys trying to demonstrate that the airplane could do great things so they could get business. They wanted to do great things, but they also wanted to make money, and if they could demonstrate that, they'd go on a business for the plane. And so it's similar to that. Yes, John, it's similar to a lot of type things like that. We are now on the cusp of real private enterprise in space.
We go from commercial space to commercial space. This is what I'm waiting for. Starlink. Remind everybody what it is, Bob.
All right, SpaceX has been launching. It's got about 1,500 satellites now operational in orbit. It's launched more than 1,700. You know, they come down periodically. Starlink is designed to provide internet service to areas where good service just has not been available, remote areas. It'll eventually cover the entire globe so that everyone can get it, but their initial focus is the more remote areas. Now, they have completed what they call their first shell of constellation shell, which is covering the mid-latitudes. The launch that occurred earlier this week out of Vandenberg Space Force Base was the first one from that launch site, and it was the first one that's going into a polar orbit, which means SpaceX is now beginning to build its what they call its second shell of satellites, and that will cover higher latitudes like Alaska and even farther north or south towards the poles. Successful launch. It was their 22nd launch of the year. And I, when posting about that, John, I also put in a list of all the commercial tourist flights that are coming up. This is in connection with the manned commercial flight happening tomorrow. You're going to have, in addition to this flight, you're going to have the Russians putting up two passengers to film a movie. You're going to send up a billionaire in December. Space Adventures is going to send four on its own orbital flight in December. And then Axiom is going to send four more tourists to ISS in January, and there are additional flights scheduled through 22 and beyond. So this is going to be quite exciting, John.
Bob, in your categorizing of launches, does it matter whether it's to orbit or whether it's suborbit? I mean, are you just counting boosters that take off?
Okay, yes. Whenever there is a launch, I list what I call the leaders in the 2021 launch race. I do this every year. So you can see who, what country and companies are in the lead. And my criteria is, one, it's got to be orbital. So that means the suborbital flights don't get counted. So, and it also has to be a success, John. If it doesn't make orbit, I don't put it in.
Blue Origin didn't count then. That was suborbital.
That's correct. Okay. Neither did Virgin Galactic.
You're tough, Bob. That's tough.
I am.
You're much tougher.
Got to make orbit because, to be honest, suborbital doesn't get you anywhere. Or you got to get to orbit if you're eventually going to go to Mars, Moon, and beyond.
All right. Here Now wins the award for best headline ever written by Bob Zimmerman in all the decades I've known him. Make concrete on Mars using human blood? Bob, this is so fabulous. I don't think I should read on. What the heck are you talking about?
Well, what could possibly go wrong, John, using human blood to make concrete? Well, okay, I came across this article. The scientists at the University of Manchester in the United Kingdom have developed a new formulation that can use material known to exist on Mars combined with the addition of astronaut blood to produce useful concrete. That sounds absurd, but this work is inspired by ancient building techniques, which often used pig blood in concrete for similar reasons. The blood acts as a binder, essentially, like albumin in eggs. All right? But I have to tell, and it's also, they also discovered that if they use waste products like urine, they can actually make the concrete stronger. Now, a lot of this makes sense, especially using the waste products, because you're on Mars, you got to use the material on hand. And using waste products is a good idea, but I gotta tell you, the moral questions raised by suggesting you tap the blood of the people who live there to make concrete is almost uncountable. And I could go on.
It's
the horrors that can happen here.
Is this about the soil of Mars? What we know about it is
no. This has to do partly has to do with making concrete. You need to add a variety of ingredients to make good concrete, and they looked at what they think the soil of Mars has, and they decided they needed to add these ingredients to make it useful. Now, we don't really know precisely what the soil of Mars is, John, but assuming this is right, I think there are real serious moral questions that have to be asked about going down this path. I give one example. Let's just imagine why not use this technique as a method of criminal punishment? Do something the ruling powers on Mars don't like, and we'll suck your blood to build the colony. This is science fiction, really.
All right, but at the same time, recently I've had a conversation about what you can do with what geneticists can now do and what they think they're going to do in 10 or 100 or 200 years. And creating a organism that that has blood is not that far a piece of imagination. You know, they're talking about replacement organs in the immediate 100 or 200 year horizon. So creating creatures on Mars that are self-sustaining and provide you building materials is not unimaginable, Bob.
You still have moral questions with that. Two of my readers came up with simple suggestions. One is, since they used to use pig blood, why not bring pigs, baby pigs? Yeah, they don't weigh much.
But I'm just talking about.
And the second suggestion was use eggs. Eggs have albumin, and we use it as a binder in cooking. I don't know if that chemically would work, but the use of organic material here, there's moral questions. You have to raise them.
All right, fine. We go back to commercial space. What we're looking at here is a commercial lunar probe that is creating, excitement, Bob? How to say this?
Yeah, this is a complicated story, but it's incredibly exciting. So a few years ago, following my advice from my policy paper in Capitalism and Space, NASA decided to no longer build its unmanned lunar probes. Instead, they would hire private companies to build them, which meant the private companies owned the spacecraft and had spare capacity for other payloads that they could sell. And so Intuitive Machines is sending two lunar landers to the moon for NASA, and on the second one, they've sold some of that spare capacity to a private company called Spaceflight Inc. to put on it a space tug they're building. And Spaceflight has further sold its payload to two other commercial startups to test fueling in space on this payload. And the goal here is not to go to the moon. They will use the mission, the flight to the moon to then separate and zip around the moon and get into geosynchronous orbit around the Earth. Another way to do it. And that's what the space tug is going to test. So this is all commercial space. It's a win-win. You've got not only two companies making money by selling their spare payload space to others, you've got two other companies now testing their own space innovations on this mission because they can do it at much lower cost and much more quickly than if they depended on
NASA. Your report says that they're going to launch in 2022?
That's right. This Intuitive Machines has two missions from NASA, and they're both to launch in 22, one early in the year and one late in the year. So this is the second one planned.
Bob,
now, of course, will they do it? We don't know.
I know, Bob, but these calendars are accelerated compared to what we're used to with big space. I mean,
when you give it to private enterprise, things happen fast. When you give it to government, well, let's wait 15 years for SLS to launch.
I'm just thinking about government in general to do something. When I read 22, I thought, boy, that seems sudden. All right, let's go to more commercial space. Rocket Lab. What is Rocket Lab?
Well, Rocket Lab is the small sat rocket company that's been launching operationally for about 4 years out of New Zealand. It's an American company. It appears that New Zealand's panic over the Wuhan flu, total panic, shutting things down.
They're in lockdown, New Zealand.
They're in lockdown again. Well, that is preventing Rocket Lab from launching. They had a plan to do more than one launch per month for the rest of this year. It now looks they're going to have to cut their launches in half, which means their profits are going to be cut more than in half because of New Zealand's government. And this relates directly to what you just said about the timetable of government versus private enterprise. Government slows things down. Freedom and private enterprise speeds things up.
To low Earth orbit, the ISS, the modules Vesta, there's trouble. But I don't know what kind of trouble. Smoke and fire alarm sounds like bad trouble. Have we solved it?
Well, the Russians are pretty comp about this. This happened last week. Shortly before they were going to do, during the middle of the night, prior to them doing a major spacewalk to start outfitting their NACA module on ISS, fire alarms sounded in the Zvezda module suggesting there was smoke and fire, and the astronauts smelled smoke. So what did the Russian astronauts do? It's on the Russian segment. They woke up. They turned off the fire alarm. They looked around, didn't see anything damaged. The ground control didn't see any damage in any of their sensors. So they said, okay, go back to sleep. And they went back to sleep. And the next day, they did the spacewalk. So did they solve what this fire was? We have no idea, John. None at all.
Bob, this is Vesta, the old module that has the airlocks, right? And that they believe is no longer trustworthy for the
structurally sound is a question mark on this. That's right.
And they have a fire alarm and they go back to sleep. That's cool, Bob.
Yep.
That is cool.
Yep.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. commercial space, a private launch, all handled by commercial space and by private citizens of the United States, imminent. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.